Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Webcology here on WMR.FM. It's the 20th of August, 2026. I counted on the calendar. There are officially 15 more days of summer until Labor Day. I don't know about down in the States or anywhere else around the world, but in Canada, the end of summer is marked by the coming of Labor Day, and Labor Day is coming 15 days from now. So get out and enjoy it while listening to the show. It's been a long week. It's been a great week. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Before we go a lot further, want to say hi and thank you to Audience Key and to Wix Studio, our sponsors.
And hi, everybody.
And also, what's really important to, I mean, like, this might seem like an important announcement, but to me it's an important announcement. A week from today and then a whole day. You have to like wait a whole week and then sleep and then wake up. And then Coyote versus Acme is like in the theaters.
Oh, yeah. Jim is definitely looking forward to this. I'm going to go see it too, but probably not the first few days. It'll be too crowded. So, yeah, no, it looks really good.
The only important thing that's actually, I think, that's happening in the entire world, because everything else is even stupider and more absurd.
Are so, you going Coyote... to a theater?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go I'm dragging my wife to go see this in the theater. I mean,
oh, wow.
She made me do that. She made me watch like Bridgerton on TV. And then she even made me go to a theater to do like Downton Abbey like movies. So, yeah, she's absolutely coming to see Coyote versus Acme. Like,
that's 100%. The only way to see it. You got to see it in the theater. It won't be as good on a TV.
Okay, so it's been a major, a lot of announcements in the search world this week, and try to get through as quickly as possible. The Google August 2026 spam update has been unleashed. It took off a few days ago. It's a global update. It's happening around the world. It's going to be impacting all languages. They're chasing spam sites, and spam can, crappy content, misuse of links. There's a whole bunch of reasons that things that could be called spam in Google's eyes. 99% of the time, it's really, really crappy content.
Yeah.
But, and the reason I mentioned links is there can be, there can be collateral damage when it comes to massive global updates. And those tend to come from sites that are closely linked together or within some sort of networks of websites that have relations with each other. And that's how like a contagion spreads from one place to another. So if you're really positive you should not have been caught up in this update, and you did, and you were caught up, and you can't find... Yeah, I mean, after you've done your technical audit, because that's the number one thing you do first, then you might want to go and check who else around you has been damaged in the update and start tracing back in links that way.
So so there's a difference, because someone asked this week why spam updates, if they can do spam normally. So they have Spam Brain, which goes after sites just for general spam issues on a single level. You know, like these sites we saw, they look spammy, so we're going to devalue. And there's Spam Update, which is based on ranking signals, and where they devalue your value, your ranking signal values, and take you down in the search results, which are handled different ways. So just so people know. So if you go down in a spam update, like some updates are off. Generally speaking, spam update, you have done something. And also they you can be for AI content. It's not always for AI content. AI content is not always penalized. But if you have other poor signals on your site and you're using AI content, I have seen sites be affected. Also, Jim, your favorite thing in the world? You click on the link to Barry's page. It didn't trigger before for me, but it triggered this time. This is from Search Engine Roundtable. It has an Easter egg.
Oh yeah,
But
what did you do this time?
I'll let you see it first. I've already seen it. Can you see it? Did it trigger?
Oh,
Didn't
no,
trigger.
try
It
to make
just
the
went.
damn thing open.
Oh, okay. So
Oh,
basically,
that's cute.
yes.
He's got like little spam bots. I think it's
Yes,
like little
space
bots made of
invaders.
spam floating across the screen.
Yeah, it's
Way to go,
very cute.
Barry.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along. You know, but Barry Schwartz expands personalization on Search Engine, Roundtable just for me. I saw that just now. Okay. Google expanded personalization across Search, Discover, and News. That means you're going to see more stuff that Google is 99.999% sure that you want to see.
And also, they're adding the preferred source button. So, in all the different platform products in Google now, you can add, say, these are my preferred sources. It won't supplant all other sources, but it will show them first because you said you preferred them.
Okay, this is like very cool. Google Trends is adding what it's calling Explore Maps and regional breakdowns. Google's calling it, Google says it has designed a new interactive map for clearer data storytelling. So you can see how ideas, words, use of words are spreading from one place to another. How they increase in popularity as time goes on in different regions. Really, how
They're showing you more
oops.
visual insights when you're on the map. So basically, you can spot regional trends, capture visual insights for your audience. This is from Barry Schwartz, and explore the where behind every search with our new intuitive maps. Oh, it's Google, sorry, not Barry. Google said on LinkedIn. So basically, it's just a lot of more detail and maps you can better use for data storytelling because it'll give you the information in color-coded graphs, charts, and again, maps.
Yeah, the cool thing I think I got lost thinking about the fourth dimension time and how Google lets you like not only see how different terms are being used in different places, but how they've been used over time. It's a truly remarkable like little tool. Just getting better and better and better.
Yes, definitely. A very valuable tool.
Okay, so Google has started rolling out generative UI in AI overviews. So Google is building custom user interfaces, user like visual layouts, interactive tools, and simulations on the fly. This is, I mean, how is this happening? Are you ordering this up? Are you asking Google to do this for you? Is Google
No,
just like assuming what you want?
it seems like it's adding it itself. Not that you're doing it, but because it says custom, but I don't see in the image that Barry
Okay,
has in the
so
article
you're
where
on a
you would
website.
customize it.
So okay, so you're on a website. You're looking for a new home. You're checking your say you're on Zillow or something, and you tell Google that you want to figure out your mortgage. Google will make you a mortgage calculator.
Yes. Be careful because that might not be correct. But it does say in the example, here it is. I didn't see it before. Show me how different fruit citrus fruits compare on an interactive scale based on sweetness and acidity. And so then it makes you a scale. So it was an AI mode. It's going to be an AI overviews. I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. And you just could use the images that people already supply.
And I'm
But
curious, is Google actually, going back to my example, is Google actually building a calculator or just drawing information out of AI and making it look, simulating the look of a calculator?
it's simulating the look of a calculator, which also means the data could be very wrong. I would not use it for anything important. So, like I said, in the last 2 weeks, I got times at local businesses wrong every time, like that it closed or completely wrong. And I'm like, they have that information in Google business profiles. Why are they getting that wrong? So you have to be very careful. I would not use it for something like creating graphs. I go find a real graph creator.
Okay, back in 2018, Google launched analytics for Google Business Profiles. They called it Google Post Insights. Basically, it was really basic. You got to see how many views and clicks a post within your Google Business Profile was getting. Google stopped that in January of 2023. now is bringing it back again, or at least a piece of it back. It's bringing back the view count part, calling it people viewed.
Which is good because you publish something, you don't know how many people saw it. So it's nice to know if it's being seen at all, if your marketing's working. So I'm not, and as Barry said, he doesn't know why they removed it. And I actually don't understand why they removed it either.
So they removed it and they've given part of it back again. So we've seen people see it. It's like it's much like they're conditioning us to only get the information they're giving us, like on AI overviews. We showed it to people. I'm not going to tell you how many times they clicked it. We're not sure ourselves, really, but we showed it to people. That's what they know exactly how many times any link got clicked, but they're often not telling us.
That's good. It's good to have it. I'm glad that people have that information.
Yeah, but it's good to have this little bit of information back, but why not tell us how often a post gets actually clicked inside a Google
They're
Business
weird
profile?
about clicks right now, and I have a feeling why they're weird about clicks. There is a way though, and to see how many people click over to your website from Google Business Profiles, and you'll see a / UTMB or something like UTM GMB, I think it is, in your referrals in GSC and GA. And that's people clicking from your profile. It's not people that are watching your post necessarily, but
Yeah, so we still don't have the ultimate analytic on the post itself.
no.
We just know it got viewed X number of times, and that Y number of people came over from the profile itself. So why do you think they're being weird about clicks?
Lawsuits. The more that they take, like, the thing we just said, like they're going to create the images, right? Why? I don't need that in a search engine. And you send me to a search result that has the information there with the graphs, right? They're trying to keep people on Google more and more and more. And if you're not giving clicks, that is, there are companies like publishers who have lawsuits out right now. And if you start giving click information, like on AI overviews and how little you're getting, then it is a basis for a lawsuit. That's
Any
just my opinion.
publisher out there, by the any publisher out there, by the way, you can get that data out of your log files. So if you're really looking for it, go look for it there. If that's the reason Google's hiding it from you, I don't think that's the reason. I think the reason is they're conditioning us to stop looking for it.
Not true, because they want us to stay on Google.
Well, and also because AI overviews and AI mode and generative AI doesn't tell you, they can't tell you how many times people clicked on these things.
Oh,
They
yeah, they
can tell
can't.
you, well, they could if they wanted to,
They
but they
could. They don't
aren't.
want to. They could, but they don't
But
want
they
to.
are telling us how many times they reviewed, how many impressions we got. That's it. That's the limit of information you get about generative AI in Google Search Console.
And but we'll see in a story later, someone has found a way to measure a lot of that information.
Indeed, good on them. Okay, you know what? Let's get down to that story. So anyway, the story is Google is bringing back some analytics, Google Post Insights, but it's bringing back the viewed, not the clicked.
This next story, we don't have to really go into because we've talked about it and we don't have any information about it, just to let people know that it's happening. So.
Yeah, okay. So there's a massive trial in Florida. Stems from a complaint by a coalition of attorneys starting in attorney generals, a bunch of different states, starting in 2023, alleging Meta has designed and deployed harmful features on Instagram and Facebook that addict children and teens to their mental and physical detriment. Meta's made an environment that sucks teens in and messes with their heads.
And it's a $1 trillion lawsuit. And there is precedent for this lawsuit because it's already been proven in multiple cases that children and teens have been affected negatively. And internally, there are documents that say things like, we've created a drug. So, So this is one to watch because usually they just settle and pay a fine and whatever. But in this case, there's a lot of precedent for this case. It started Tuesday in court. They started reporting on it, but I don't think they've gotten anywhere the evidentiary stage or anything like that yet. So, but we will report on it when we find out more information.
I can just see like Mike Myers as Dr. Evil with his like middle finger up to his lip saying a $1 trillion.
Yes. This is a total, basically, market cap of Meta is what they're shooting for.
Yeah. Actually, that's beyond Meta's market cap. I'm pretty sure. I think they're in the 700 million,
Oh,
700
okay.
billion
I thought they were
range.
1 trillion. Okay, cool.
I think they may well be. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, who
What's
knows?
a few trillion between 100 billion between friends these days, eh?
Exactly.
Microsoft is rolling out AI Max globally. All advertisers, all languages. If you log into your Microsoft advertising account, you should be able to toggle the AI Max setting. They're using AI to help find high intent queries, generate stuff for your ads, assets for your ads, and match searchers with the most relevant landing page on your site.
Yep, and ChatGPT ads is expanding to 31 European countries. Still, I don't know if these are fully fleshed out enough to spend a lot of time on because we've been reporting on how they've been adding and adding features, but it might be worth your try. Germany, France, Spain, Italy, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Netherlands, and Australia plus the EU.
Okay. Now, anyone using Firefox out there, raise your hand.
I use it. I'm raising my hand. You can't see, but I am. I mean, you can see Jim, but they can't see.
Firefox has their own internal search engine. It's called Startpage. Or I'm sorry, Mozilla has developed a search engine called Startpage. It's now on Firefox. It looks like it's going to be Firefox's default search engine. Starting with the newest version, Firefox version 154. It's going to be the built-in search option for Firefox users on desktop users in Germany, France, Austria, Sweden, and the Netherlands. Also, Android and iOS versions are coming soon. They're launching it in Europe first because, well, Startpage's home market is Europe. It's extremely privacy conscious, and it's part of the European initiative to try to introduce privacy by design in software and move away from American software, which tends to marshal the data of the user to turn the profit.
Yeah, so Firefox have been getting beat up a bit lately about its additions of AI and things that kind of took it away from its core original mission, being the open source privacy kind of browser. So this will be interesting if it gets to the US, because obviously, like you said, it's being rolled out in other countries where privacy is a legal issue for different companies. So I think it's good.
Privacy isn't just a legal issue in Europe. It's now becoming an ethical issue and a differentiator between the kind of technologies that Canada, the EU, and other countries want to start building as we are being forced to move away from American technologies. So that's why they're doing it in the EU first. They do intend to move it to the rest of the world, moving along, moving forward. I hope it works. It's going to be part of the drop-down menu for everybody else, but if you're in, again, in the largest EU nations, it'll be your default.
Yay, privacy. I like it.
Okay.
But no, the new section of the announcement section is the Google bug report.
Yep. If
So
you guys noticed problems with generative AI reporting starting August the 12th and moving till about 2 days ago, it was them, not you. It's
yes, there's a
fixed.
lot of comments in the article and Search Engine Roundtable about it if you want to read them, but basically you fall off a cliff. Your impressions just went bottomed out. It's fine. It's coming. It's not anything to do with your website.
Yeah, and I saw today in two different accounts, they're the Gen AI impression reports are shooting back up again.
Yay.
Similarly, Google performance reports dropped in impressions and clicks, same day, August the 12th and 13th. They got that fixed. It's again bounced back up again.
And then today, about was it today?
It was today.
Yesterday,
Yes,
sorry,
starting.
yesterday, sorry, yesterday. Starting at 4 in the morning Eastern time, there was an outage on Google Analytics, where it was not showing users all the data, but it seemed to be working
Oh,
until
that
about
was
three hours later.
real-time
Yeah,
data.
sorry, real-time data, right? About 3 hours later. So if you saw the blip this week again, it wasn't you, it was them.
So, We have another section of the show that we call The Abyss. We look at some of the darker sides of technology, especially the technologies that are being used by the authoritarian Trump regime to suppress the rights or limit the rights of the American people. Our favorite surveillance tool, one of our favorite surveillance tools, Flock, a vehicle surveillance giant Flock Safety, claimed for years its technology can't recognize, identify, or track individuals. Thing is, you can. You can track drivers, you can track vehicles by patterns of movement, and you
Also,
can kind of track them by their license plate number.
IMEs from their cell phones are also being tracked by Flock. This article is more about Wired. This was an article about Wired from Wired
In Wired.
about yeah, in Wired about them getting the actual code for the tool, the new AI tool for police that Flock has given them. And as Jim said, it's like so it can actually query the information that Flock is tracking in live time, and it'll say like, "Give me all the names of people that were arrested in the last 2 years," or "Give me the names of the people and addresses of the people that were in this area because maybe I can find a witness." It's basically like what pre-crime, right? We talked about in the famous movie. So yeah, what's that?
Well, that could be a component of, like, from Minority Report. Yeah, it could be a component of, like, pre-crime planning, but it's also just a way of tracking you and knowing where you are at any given time. From your vehicle's movements, you'd be surprised how regular your daily routines actually are. And this is, sorry, folks, all of us are a lot more normal than we like to think we are. We do the same things every day because, we're creatures of habit. We know where the watering hole is. We know where the feed hole is. That's where the hunting ground is. That's what we do. So you go to the same grocery stores. You go to the same supermarkets. You go to the same retail stores over and over and over again. And you go to the same gym. You go to the same restaurants, etc. And from those movements, that regular daily movement, they can identify exactly who you are.
Yeah, and in this case, like one of the things that it showed as an example was take a single plate and ask the system to plot the journeys of that car and the top three associates. The code describes explicitly how the ranking works. We don't need to get into that, but it counts how often other plates appear at the same camera within a 2 minute window of the target by default and reports back any car that shows up next in the three or more times within. So this is total surveillance. And like I said, it can, they have found these cameras pointing at things other than roadways. So people are asking, like, why is it pointed at a park? Why is it pointed at a daycare? Why is it pointed at a swimming pool? And they found, again, they can read the IME in your phone. Like, so the only way to get rid of that is to put it in a, what am I trying to say? I used it last week. A Faraday bag, to block the signal completely. But there are cities and towns now that are telling Flock to take them out. Problem is, they have a competitor called Axon, and Axon is doing very similar things. And instead of installing theirs on poles, they install them on lights, like street lights. And they're also being installed inside of traffic barrels. Those, I don't know if you have them in Canada, we have these big orange traffic barrels, and they're putting them inside there to read as they go by. And these can be wrong up to 70% of the time. There are people who have been misidentified and been surrounded by SWAT teams. One woman was arrested.
You know what? Even if they're accurate 85% of the time, they are devices that are being used to track people who've done nothing wrong, for the most part, who've done absolutely nothing wrong. They're just going about their business, but they're being surveilled by the state.
And they're also adding this to drones that they're using. And the CEO says, "Well, we're going to make crime non-existent." And no, you're never going to make crime non-existent, but what you are doing is invading the privacy against the laws of the country, this
You know what they're going
country.
to? They're going to make a lot more criminals by making your average actions, daily actions, criminal. If they can't, okay, so I want you to think about this, Christine. You're driving along and you find that you're driving north and you need to be somewhere south really quickly. Do you responsibly pull off and turn or just pull a U-ey if there's no one else coming? 99% of the time people pull a U-ey.
I
Up
pull you if
here,
there's nobody else coming.
You see, up here that's illegal, and they can
Oh,
like
it's not.
ding you on that. They can give you a traffic ticket for that. If you don't pay your traffic tickets often enough, they can, I don't know, fine you heavily or even jail you. Now, I'm not saying that people are going to do that to, everybody in America. They probably won't. But if they really wanted to mess you over, all the things you do every day that, and we all do it, it's not like we're criminals or anything because, no one's charging us for the crime, but we all circumvent minor, teeny little laws every day. What if we got held to account for them?
Yeah, exactly. And also, what if they start putting those things into your profile that they're keeping on you, right? So, the Slack leaves the rules to whoever has the tool. So it means, like, if you have a rogue set of ICE officers in your area, like we've seen on camera, like this isn't supposition. They can use them in ways that are illegal and have been found to. Some officers have been found to stalk women with them. So this is just the CEO will say we're trying to create a safer world. He's not. He likes the money. But at the same time, the legal side of this is really the only way to fight it. Many communities, like I said, are now just in the last month starting to have them removed or not renewing their contracts. The best way to keep track of the legalities around this is to follow the electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF. If you don't know who they are, those are like the ACLU for digital rights. And they've been filing lawsuits and getting the information and testing the equipment and things of that nature. And then, of course, this Wired article. But, normally Jim and I don't do a lot of straight advocacy on the show. We'll just mention our opinions. But in this case, I think it's worth fighting these in your community because they have the potential to be used for so much bad. And they are violating the laws in this country on, unreasonable search. So
Okay.
that's my.
No, I agree. You know what? I take it a step further. You should really. It's how to say this. I come from a culture that is fairly heavily surveilled as well, but it's all anonymized. So the CCTV cameras like everywhere, but they don't actually apparently know who they're looking at. I'm sure they do at this point. As they're walking down the streets, if they aren't identifying individuals, it would take a huge amount of data and energy. And, 10 years ago, that would have been unthinkable. Today, I'm sure it's quite easy. But I don't really have a government that's I really fear doing that to me.
Well, the interesting thing is, okay, go
Your
ahead.
government, the American government, I absolutely would fear doing that to me.
Well, the interesting thing is that at DEF CON, when I was there, it was like probably 6 years ago or 7 years ago, the NSA was a keynote speaker, head of the NSA. And he said, we have been collecting files on everybody, but we don't look at them. The legality is in if you're looking at them. You can't look at them until there's a warrant, right? The NSA.
Oh, indeed. The
Okay.
Patriot Act allowed the NSA
Well,
to collect huge amounts of data on Americans,
yeah.
provided they didn't look at it unless
Right.
necessary.
So DEF CON banned them all federal government for 5 years or 3 years after that. They were not allowed. Of course, they still came. But the point was that the government even had a law that even if we collected all this data, we're not allowed to look at it, right? Now, whether they
Unless
did
we
or
need
not,
it.
that's right, with a warrant. With a warrant. But in this case, they're just letting a private company give the government the ability to do all this kind of tracking on people, and look at it and track you and know your cell phone number, IME is XYZ. And know that you hang out with these people and know that these cars are at your house and know all these things. That's an insane, incredible amount of data for people to be collecting on you as an individual who has done nothing wrong. And it's not allowed by the government, but somehow they're circumventing. They always like to find the gray area by letting the private company collect it and then just giving the search access to the government.
Well,
So,
you gotta fill those private prisons somehow.
that's for sure.
By the way, let's step out of the abyss.
Yes,
I don't
we're done
like
with
it
you,
down
but
there to begin with.
I don't either.
Anthropic, last week we reported Anthropic is going to be adding a watermark of sorts to excuse me, to documents and stuff created by it.
Yeah, images,
This week we can
video.
tell you how they're going to do it.
Yes, yeah, so 404 Media did a really good report on this. It does say the title doesn't indicate really what the article is about. Anthropic's text watermarking proves AI companies do not care at all about writing. But most of the article, though, is about how Anthropic is doing the watermarking. So they're not using like code or hidden characters or special characters. They're taking in, when large language models write, they use a probability and they use a temperature to choose the word that comes next. And if you lower the temperature, it will use less common of a word. If it's a high temperature, it will use, and which most things are set to use the most common sentence in its training. In this case, they're going to vary that temperature by a table that they have internally that will use a word that isn't necessarily the word that would normally use. And they're going to be able to do that and plant it inside the document. I'm sure there's some other things they're not telling us because it'd be too easy to just undo it. But oh, by the way, they did. That's our next story. People figured out how to strip it. But so that's basically how they're doing it. So the example is the sentence might be the weather today was cold and gray, and the weather today was cold and overcast. Those are both two ways it could write it. And so gray or overcast are just different words. Who cares, according to Anthropic? But they would use a word in there that they wouldn't commonly use. And then they know from their table that they're generating it from that that is the word that indicates this was AI written.
Indeed. So the wonky word, which we probably wouldn't spot as a casual reader, is the watermark itself. Map makers used to do that. In the olden days, cartographers used to put fake cities or fake towns or fake roads on maps just to see if the map was being copied or not. So that's what this reminds me of.
Yeah, and it's not a random generator, which is what the actual, tool is, but they actually can tell from their actual mathematical calculations which word was chosen.
Here's the funny
Yeah.
thing about math. If somebody mathed it, somebody else can math it too. And so hackers and coders have said they found a way around these watermarks. I don't know what to say about that, except we'll see if they actually have or haven't. And if we're now in a sort of like an arms race between the hackers and AI companies trying to find ways to indicate this is actually AI content without saying this is AI content.
Yeah, so they found a way. They can't prove it yet until they put out the device that Anthropic's AI is coming, where you can actually tell if something was watermarked or not watermarked. But it'll be interesting. Apparently, there's multiple groups that are saying they were able to do this right away, and they're already like within hours of it being released. Jim, did you think though that wasn't going to happen? Because I was pretty sure that's going
Well,
to
of course it's going to happen. Are they actually
happen.
going to be able to work their way around a series of protections? Really, it depends on how complicated the protections are. And yeah, they'll work. Actually, you know what? It doesn't matter how complicated they are. They'll figure it out.
Exactly. So yeah, it's out there. Yeah, you might defeat it, but if you follow the story on Wired about the workarounds, some of them, they mentioned some of the people and the tools that they are developing to do that. Also, there's some backlash. Of course, we talked a little bit about that last week. There are Claude Max subscribers who are canceling. It's not significant enough to make a difference in their subscription numbers at this time, but a lot of talk on X and social media, and also people contacting reporters or reporters contacting people about it because, as we talked about last week, you could use it just for editing your normal writing, just to make sure that you don't have an editor. You want to make sure your grammar is correct, your spelling's correct, and once you put it in there, it gets the watermark either way. So I would, of course, that would be a great way to test how it does it. Put your own writing there, see what it changes. But I suggest for this at this time do a tool that doesn't do watermarking very well right now, which is like OpenAI. But I understand why they're mad
Well,
because if I used it, I've used it sometimes to clean up my writing. I know my writing is a little too many. My professor used to tell me if you have ands and commas and semicolons, you're writing too complicated. Simplify it. Sometimes that I do
you
that.
know what? By the way, any just while we're on this example, for anyone out there who wants to be a writer, my advice is please don't go to AI to do that for you. You need to learn this
No.
discipline yourself. Every comma and semicolon is begging to be a period. Try
Yes.
it.
And
Just
that,
try it.
yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Your writing will become so much faster and more concise.
And I'm not advocating using it for writing. Just sometimes when I've had to turn a report or something and I'm like, this is messy today. Could you just clean it up? Don't change anything significant. Then I've done that. But now
Oh,
to do it, it can be
I
quicker.
get that. I get that, Christina. I get that. I get that. It's just that people, I think people need to honestly be forced to remove their commas and insert a period themselves because it teaches them the lesson.
This
No
is
other way to
true.
get it across to them.
But I did that in grad school for an entire semester. I'm just teasing. So anyway, yeah, so that's what's going on with the Water Martinian Club.
Clearly, your TA didn't snap a whip hard enough. If you know,
Oh,
because,
my professor threatened to fail us if we wrote complicated academic sentences in a
good for
PhD
them.
level class. And he said, if you're going to be an academic, you have to communicate ideas, and you can't do that if you're using academic words and sentences that are strung together with periods, I mean, sorry, colons, semicolons, and
It's
conjunctions.
just, it's honest to goodness the same thing with tech writing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, honest, it's like people really want to be reading this in the first place. So make
Yeah.
it easy for them.
Exactly.
Okay, Google is hiring a production manager for content automation.
So before we get into this is an internal role because I saw a lot of SEOs talking about this. They thought it was external. So this is internal. They're not talking about AI writing for like Google. But go
Really?
ahead.
Oh my goodness. So you've, and by the way, this would be so content focused within Google, or are they hiring from within?
No, they're hiring. It's the actual posted listing for product manager for content automation. It was posted at Boulder, Colorado, or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then Barry Schwartz wrote the articles like, isn't it funny? They want to con someone to do automated content. But
Well,
basically, the
here's what they
response.
want you to do. Apparently, I'm so sorry. They want you to
No, go
develop
ahead.
and advocate a product goal strategy, multi-year roadmap for the product area, ensuring alignment with GUP goals and stakeholder needs. I don't even know what GUP means. They want you to do research analysis of users and their journeys. Oh my God, I don't want to read this. It's all yours. I mean, seriously, this is dumb. This is dumbass language.
I think Google writes everything with AI now, and it shows. Remember how many times we say
Yeah.
that? Lead to the end-to-end product lifecycle from ideation and definition through development, launch, and iteration. Define key performance indicators, KPIs, to track product performance, identify areas of optimization, et cetera, and collaborate with and provide clear direction to cross-functional teams, including engineering, UX partner-facing teams, and operations. But anyway, if you want to go help with content automation internally at Google, I'm sure the job pays very, very well. I don't know how much.
I'm sure it does, but it'll eat your soul while you do
It
it.
will. It will,
Honestly, it will. I
definitely.
mean, I'm just reading that performance description.
Yeah.
Basically, they want you to come up with a roadmap for a product area of automated content, assuring making sure that it aligns with their goals and, most importantly, stakeholder needs.
Yes.
That's, other people involved in whatever division at Google your product line of this content will be touching. You know what? This honestly sounds like a position that is going to have a whole bunch of spaghetti thrown at it. And whatever sticks to the wall, that's what's going to become your job.
Yeah, pretty much. I think so.
Okay, AI is getting weird about safety in their new models. So weird, they've taken a 2-week break from training.
Release OpenAI's, although I did see on LinkedIn from leaders in that field a lot of criticism of this was just another
It's a money thing,
marketing,
isn't it?
yeah,
It's
money
a money thing.
thing,
They
and
can't afford it. They can't afford they
that
can't
might
get the
actually
studio
be true.
time.
OpenAI
They're...
will be the first to get, like, I didn't put this in our stories today, but I didn't get a chance to really read go like through this the news yesterday. But basically, they were found to kind of fudging their revenues. So the revenues were like 80 or 90 billion, not like what they reported. I don't know what they reported. So anyway, so yeah, that could be true. But also they need another news story about them to keep them
Okay,
in
so
people's
they
minds.
are. OpenAI is taking a 2-week break from training new artificial intelligence models, saying it needs time to rethink security measures for risky trial runs. Or, we couldn't afford the studio time, guys. We'll have to record our cassette later. You choose, audience.
Yeah, it's a choose your own adventure right now with AI.
Okay, just because we really, really, really needed this, OpenAI has launched ChatGPT for Teens, a new and improved place where teens will be happy to have new safety features, parental controls, and study tools at their fingertips.
The word study tools just makes my brain hurt.
Hey, this is designed to promote healthy use along with additional controls for parents.
Yeah, it does say they're going to detect when a teen is trying to shortcut an assignment, and they're supposed to actually reintroduce like logical thinking. The problem is it's OpenAI, and I don't trust it. Like they've done so many things that have just not been true or real, and said they're going to do it, and then they don't do it. So I don't know. We'll see. At least someone's
Here's
trying, hopefully, but.
the thing, and I think they sincerely need want to solve this problem because they need to, not because they actually want to, but because they actually their survival depends on solving it. OpenAI and every LLM, if we're going to continue using LLMs to, move the AI revolution forward, they're sharks. They need to constantly be training on new material. If people are rendered incapable of creating that new material on their own without AI assistance, the AI starts eating itself in little pieces and little chunks,
Yeah.
and eventually it eats itself entirely, at least as far as new training data comes in. So AI can't make people stupid. And it's doing that. And it needs to stop doing that. And OpenAI and Claude and Anthropic, and I'm sure all the AI developers understand this and are, really, really, really working hard to stop people from using AI foolishly, which is going to be very difficult. I imagine that's why they're trying to create a student mode where it doesn't do the work for students. But like you said, like it's not OpenAI I don't trust, it's the students I don't trust.
No, it's OpenAI. I don't trust. They also are supposedly limiting the exposure to harmful content and relationships with chatbots that can involve emotional dependency. We had several suicides last year and people aged 16 to 30. And I think this is also partially to protect themselves from future lawsuits
Sure.
because we know that when you have regular conversations with the AI, it can release dopamine and oxytocin, which can lead to this psychosis that
Yeah.
cr is created by that dependency on the tool. So yeah, there's probably more legal department stuff, but at least they're trying. Hopefully they're trying for le legitimately. We don't have a story in 3 months how they totally ignored it all. Like they were supposed to put, safeguards in for the people that had killed themselves, and they didn't do it. So that's what they did this time.
Yeah. Again, I don't think we're going to see a story in a few months about how OpenAI ignored the safeguards. I think we're going to see a lot more stories about how the users ignored the safeguards, found ways around them, or didn't use them in the first place.
That's true, I'm sure. Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, so Reddit's ChatGPT search citations fell 86% in 4 days. It's like somebody turned the tap off.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was unique to ChatGPT. Didn't happen to Google. In fact, in Google, they're good as ever, if not stronger. We also know that ChatGPT lowered the amount of citations just overall, so I'm sure that affected it. But I don't believe,
What?
yeah, but I don't believe that they know the reason why it happened, right?
86% is more than them scaling back the number of citations they're giving per generative
Oh,
article, yeah?
definitely, definitely. But they, I'm just saying that. It fell from 3.83% of their citations to 0.52. So obviously something else was going on. I just don't know if we know what. I don't think there was a resolution in the article. This isn't search engine land.
You know what? We could find out next week that it was something Reddit did themselves to like throttle the impact of ChatGPT on its servers. Who knows?
And it also could just be an issue with the API from, they're using or the screen. Well, no, Google has the host. So the scraping that they're doing or something of that nature. So we'll report later when we find out if this is permanent.
So. Reddit's probably the most interesting of the social medias right now in the way that it's structured and allows conversation in threads about specific topics that are put up by the Redditors themselves. And it's, it, like a directory, it's divided topically, and there's a Reddit thread on virtually every topic under the sun. And again, Reddit's great power is the community formed around the conversations about the post the original poster put up. Reddit's testing AI-powered conversations in a limited trial. It's rolling out AI voice simulations to animate and give voice to posts. Now, it doesn't say that it's making up posts with AI or that it's making responses to posts with AI, but your response might have a AI voice summary clip attached to it,
You
or it
know,
might communicate with somebody that way.
I can see on a lot of platforms that this would work, and it could, it might, but Reddit is such a purist platform about what Reddit is and the discussions and the moderation and the groups that they're there. I don't know that they're going to like having AI anything, even if maybe it's functionally helpful.
I totally agree with you here. Redditors guard that space like crazily.
Yeah.
So I think Redditors will probably reject this. However, I mean, it is just it's kind of like an AI voice reading something back to you and trying to get inflection from the way something was written. I do a lot of writing at Reddit, so I don't know if I like this or not because, but I'm really curious myself to find out how it reads me, you know?
Well, the thing is, like, this is being, it's copying how it works off Reddit. So they think that because it works off Reddit, it'll work on Reddit. And we'll see. I'm not sure either way. I do think, though, there will be a story on backlash from Redditors on adding AI summaries and voice.
100%. Are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Something.
All
Yeah. Paul, sorry. Pollen just flew in my mouth, I think. It's high pollen today. And I suddenly just, it choked on my throat.
right. Okay. This is a weird story, but this is the Elon Musk story, so there is a certain amount of malevolence
Always,
behind it.
yeah, yes.
So X is offering $175,000. Now we've got Mike Myers in the role of Dr. Evil. Now he's got his little finger up beside his mouth because we're only talking about $175,000 for
There's three
grok-generated
sizes.
versions of the Odyssey.
Yes, because he doesn't like how it was interpreted because they use non-white people.
Yep, they use
And
persons of
actually,
color.
sadly, I have to report that that's actually why he doesn't like how it was interpreted.
Oh well, Elon Musk is a racist. Absolutely, he's
Yeah,
overtly
exactly.
racist. He overtly supports Nazi causes. He
Yes, we know because he shares it.
overtly did actions to start race riots in the UK. I mean,
Yeah.
Elon
Let's remind
Musk is a
people.
racist, period.
Let's remind people that the Odyssey is fiction.
Yeah.
And so, like any fiction, they could be anything, but also the areas of the world it was happening in weren't Europe. So.
No, in fact, it was the Mediterranean where a lot
Yeah,
of people were, in fact, persons of color,
color, yes.
including Jesus, probably. But we can touch that some other time after we get
Another
kicked
time.
off
That's
Disney for it.
yeah. So the competition, this is from Social Media Today, by the way, excellent coverage about the social media world from this publication. The competition has seemingly sprouted from ex-owner Elon Musk's personal ambition to create an alternate version of the story due to his dislike of Christopher Nolan's recent interpretation. As a result, they offer three cash prizes, 25,000, 50,000, and 100,000, to use Grok's visual and video and voice capabilities to do it. The winning video is between 3 and 5 minutes long, and by the end of this month. But they will rank them on verified premium home timeline impressions, which just means if you have a high follower account, you're more likely to win. So it seems kind of silly. The whole thing is silly. I just mean the judging is also silly. So anyways, there will be a big prize for whoever does this. So he's done it before.
Given the attention span of X users, I'll say this fad lasts maybe a week.
Well, actually, every time he's done something to try to raise engagement, it generally lasts just a couple weeks and then it just goes away and people forget about
Well, I'm glad I didn't put any money on this. A couple weeks, you say, huh? Well,
it. Yeah.
that might be just enough time for him to give away $175,000. We'll see.
Exactly.
Okay, so Meta is throwing in AI-powered assistance for small business owners. It's going to allow small business owners to integrate analytics from a whole bunch of different sources to try to come up with better strategies for working on Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp.
This is on social media today as well. It's looking to make its artificial intelligence tools more valuable for small businesses by enabling business owners to integrate data from their Facebook, Instagram analytics, Meta Ads, and Google Workspace into Meta AI. As a small, someone who's done small business ads, these will be very helpful, I think, for people. It's one of the functional uses of AI. A few of them we've seen lately. Usually they're not that functional.
Well,
So it
if
can convert
again,
information into
provided it's
documents
all
and
accurate.
spreadsheets. Yeah, that's the thing, is if it's accurate or not.
But
You know, I
going out
use.
and sorry.
Ahead, go.
Well, going out and pulling raw data from column B, column C, column D, and column E on line 1, 6, and 15, that's cool. That's wonderful. It saves me the time of doing it.
If it reports it correctly, that's the problem.
Yeah, assuming it's actually in fact pulling that data that I need over and over and
Yeah,
over again. But you know what? For
exactly.
repetitive tasks where data is like in a static environment, you're pulling from this box. Always pull from this box.
And
You
visually go
can,
check it, you know.
well, let's say you can visually confirm that it's done its job right because you have a number. The number should be in that box.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, I think it'll be helpful. We'll see how it goes, and if they continue to support it, if they don't have enough users, they won't. But it looks like a good idea.
So, you know,
Then let's
when
get to
people
the
were
other
saying,
side of Meta.
well, yeah, people were talking about being, you know, sometimes people say people are a little paranoid when they talk about these things, and then the details come out. So, Meta glasses have a camera in them. The camera's hooked up to the internet. They can take pictures of anybody's face and then do facial recognition to identify people. Ooh. Meta touts it, suggesting people make highlight reels of a dinner party or something.
This isn't a patent, by
But
the way.
this is a very terrifying thing, and people were like, yeah, but you know what? They're not using the glasses for facial recognition, like they wouldn't do that. Well, as it turns out, a patent document says that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, so originally they found it in the code. I think it was Wired that found it, might have been 404 Media. And so then there's a big backlash about the glasses. So now they've taken the route of, well, we'll just patent the facial recognition portion, but sell it as a positive because I went to dinner with you last night and I could show you all these little social clips from our dinner. First of all, if you need to know your state law, because your state law doesn't allow you to video without informing people, the little red light does not count as informing. In fact, in some countries they're outlawing glasses because of that. But the patent, now there's a patent you can look at for people who love to go through patents. I'm sure Jim and I will probably look at that patent at some point. So they're putting in the facial recognition. My question is, so Facebook once had the best facial recognition in the world because every time you tagged someone, they used it and made a template of your face and your body. They could recognize people without the face. They supposedly destroyed all those templates, but I would like to know where the facial recognition portion of this is coming in because there was a lawsuit and they stopped using them and they supposedly destroyed them. Now I'm kind of wondering, I don't know that they didn't destroy them, I'm not saying that, but I am kind of wondering where the facial recognition part of this comes in.
Well,
Because where are they
Facebook
getting this
still.
technology?
Even if they destroyed all that data and all those models they had made previously, they still have all that data because just by nature of being Facebook, they have all that
Right.
data.
So I'm wondering if they are reusing the data that they eliminated through one lawsuit but are now using it in
Well,
another way. But we don't know, but they don't say how they did it.
they were probably given parameters that were so strict at the time that you could only use it, you know, you can't use it this way or that way. So they just nixed it all. So they're probably recreating the same system within a really strict series of parameters that were not mentioned in the previous lawsuit. You
Yes,
know what
by
I
the way,
mean?
this, yeah, exactly. No, I agree. I think that's possible. We just have to confirm. But by the way, at the end of the 404 article, it does say it was Wired reported that Meta silently added facial recognition code for its smart glasses to millions of people. Then Meta removed the code after Wise discovery. Now they've made a patent for it, so they'll put it back in.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe they won't, but nobody else can either. At least not using their method.
I do think the patent is funny because it's like there's literally an image in the patent that says, I've generated some highlights of tonight's dinner party. Would you like me to Would you like to see them? And then it shows these weird drawings of people at the dinner party and the person using glasses. By the way, if you walk in a room with these glasses, I will be walking out. Should not be recording people without their consent.
Absolutely not. No, this is different. This isn't like taking a picture, like taking a still picture in a public room. This is recording a long period over time. So not, so different, so not cool.
And also, it's hidden. If I pull out my camera to take video in a party, people know I have my camera out to take video at a party. And then they say to me, please don't video me. Or I'm in a situation a couple once every week where there are people who don't want to be videoed. So I ask everybody, but I know certain people don't want to be videoed. So I never do. But if I have my camera out, they're like, don't video me. I'm like, I know you're never in the videos, I promise. So you don't just record people with your glasses. It's just.
Yeah, but you're sitting there with your big Buddy Holly glasses. Nobody actually knows that you're necessarily
Yeah.
recording, indeed.
And people have seen themselves show up online with people who had these glasses, not knowing they were being recorded at the time. And for women, this is a stalker tool,
Yeah,
and it's a
incredible.
very, very, very scary thing for women. So you're uncool if you have these glasses. I'm just saying.
Okay, we have labored that point. Let's shift gears. This is a total gear shift. Okay, we're jumping away from one point to a totally different area. And this is really cool. So you'd think if you're a business that your LinkedIn profile is doing the heavy lifting for your business. But as it turns out, it's your employees and their profiles who tend to be cited more frequently in AI citations about your business. So your employees' LinkedIn profiles are actually doing the heavy lifting of describing the businesses they work for. And as an employer, that gives you a certain number of things you might want to ask them. But as an employee, I think that gives you a certain amount of leverage.
True. And in social media today, they also go through the optimization techniques for LinkedIn. We've already done that in a story, so we're not going to recover that. But this will be going to a client today. I've been telling them to write social, like on LinkedIn for a long time. Now I can show them because they want to appear in AI citations. So. But
Okay,
LinkedIn is also used, by the way, just real quick, in organic search. It's frequently cited in organic search as well. So you're covering both platforms by doing that.
So Google has explaining why search updates aren't being announced right away. Why ranking updates are preceded by fluctuations or by like Barry's weather report saying it's very, very hot in search land these days. And why they don't announce them sooner. So as it turns out, Google, how to say this? Google starts rolling out search updates 3 or 4 or 5 days before announcing them. And when those updates start rolling out, that's when I guess Barry and all the meters he measures start noting that there's the search world is heating up.
Well, as John says, they don't start before they actually roll out, so they push the button in the article, just so you know. So, yeah, but anyway, they don't. Why search updates are not announced right away is the same old, same old. Some search
Oh, I
results they
totally
don't
misread that.
actually. Yeah, they very. No, you didn't. There's a quote where someone said, "I noticed that they roll out 3 5 days before announcement," but then Mueller responded, "We don't roll them out
No, we don't
beforehand."
do
We
that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's buried in the article. That's why I was letting you know. So, because the one thing's in big bold and the other thing's in tiny text below it. So, yeah, so they don't do that, but they do all these other updates all the time. So that's why we have the joke now that like we don't report on volatility reports because it's always volatile. But they do announce big updates that affect massive number of people with ranking signal devaluations, which is different than just an update that they're doing to the main algorithms and how they rank search in general. So, and let's see.
So Google's got a new spam update happening, but
No, we announced earlier, yeah.
SEOs understood that Google's systems were so good at cutting spam that spam shouldn't exist on Google anymore, prompting the question, why does Google need to keep running spam updates?
And there's a difference. There's general things like we talked about earlier with the AI of spam brain. And then there are things that they need to target. Like somebody came up with a new technique or spam, or affiliates are all doing the same thing, or whatever it happens to be. It's a large scale common spam method, and then they can target that with an update
And
if they're seeing. No, I said, go ahead. Yeah.
another thing to remember is Google understands the web based on connections. And so if your documents, it suddenly decides that your documents are spammy, now it wants to go and look at all the documents connected to your documents. And a little bit of your sin is likely to wash over to them because that's just the way Google's energy distribution network works. So they have to do an update every once in a while just to see who's relating to whom.
But that doesn't mean someone can rank to you from spammy sites and take your site down. That doesn't work
Oh
anymore.
yeah, oh, indeed. Oh yeah, indeed, indeed, indeed. But they will be interested in the recalibration of the web after every
They will examine a bunch of sites that are linked in Google Search Console accounts or Google Analytics accounts. If some come up spammy, they will examine all the sites and that are related in that whatever you call it. What would you call it?
set.
School. Yes, that would be good. That's an easy word. I was looking for a big word. Then there's 9 months of AI overview data and 51,000 websites checked. The interesting thing was, this is the article I told you has the method for how they were trying to track AI overviews. So one way you can tell is if you flip your impression data and you see like 100,000 impressions in 4 clicks, most likely an AI overview. In this case, what they did is they used, you know, that when you see the text highlighted, the fragment at the destination URL, apparently they use that from AI overviews. So you will get, false positives. It won't all be AI overview data, but you can definitely tell over time that suddenly it really spike, if you have this tracked in GA. So this is a study in search engine land. And so they used that method, and they found out that up to 22% of AI overview traffic is being I can't speak today,
Misattributed.
misattributed to direct. Direct is the bucket Google throws everything into if it doesn't actually 100% sure where it came from.
A whole bunch of your organic is misattributed to direct, but yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. AI is direct, yeah.
Yeah. So
A
it said
lot
that.
of direct is AI for sure.
Yeah, so even that's why these tools that say they like follow your AI overviews, it's like, because so much is so hard to track. But AI overviews in this test were driving 7.53% of organic sessions, but very volatile. So sort of like just news Discover, like if you use Discover, you'll get like spikes one day, and then if you're a news publisher, and then for like a month, you won't get any spikes, and you'll get a huge spike, and you won't get a spike. So it's similar, but a much lower percentage than, say, Discover would be.
Snippets have life cycles. Sometimes people are incredibly interested in a certain topic, or their intention is towards a topic is directed in public's attention towards a certain topic is directed in a specific way. Google will pick that up, and for certain types of search, a snippet will perform quite well, and then things change. Other ideas come out, new concepts or ways of saying it emerge, or the public interest simply wanes or changes. And so the snippet's life cycle peaks and troughs suddenly.
Yeah, very true. That's also a reason for it. Also, citations slip in and out quite frequently. Often, they're not the same from if the same prompt is used 10 times. So,
Yeah, that's something Google and the I shouldn't say Google the LLM search models have yet to prove is long-term consistency.
right. And Google's supposed to be, we reported on this months ago, putting ranking signals in its AI products. When it does that, then there will be long-time consistency. But right now, there's no consistency. 100 people can have the same prompt and all get different citations. So business websites are also dominating Gemini local AI search citations. So instead of like, sorry, I'm opening up the article. It's taking a minute. So this is on Search Engine Land, and there's 14,472 AI citations. Business websites led Gemini's local search results. Repeated searches rarely return the same sources, like we just talked about.
A cool thing here, structured specific content tends to do really well. So if you have things like give time, prices, routes, named comparisons, stuff that is just factual data, AI apparently loves that.
Yes.
Editorial padding, more words that it can, like, twirl around with and figure out the relationships between, doesn't seem to do as well.
Yeah, because it's looking for the LLMs are and AI searches. Google search is a little different. They're talking about the straight AI search, LLM search, even Gemini, is because they look for a level of cosine relevance between the entities, i.e., nouns used in what you have there. And so if they're closer together, it'll parse all the way through the page. If they stray halfway through the page, it stops parsing. So that's probably why that is. Go ahead.
Google AI overviews are using this is an article in Search Engine Journal looking at how Google AI overviews use Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok from 300 million US searches. How it's leaning on different social platforms as authorities for based on different types of queries.
Yeah, so the social presence usually isn't like affecting, well, until like 6, 8 months ago, wasn't really affecting your organic, but now it does. They're citing the social content. They're also using it in search results way too frequently, in my opinion. But the following doesn't matter. It's how the post is written. Is it written with factual information? Does it have something of worthwhile to the large language model? So you can have 500 followers and still get cited as a citation. They're not looking if you have million followers or 500 followers. What they're looking for is basically a line of text or a short post that sits can exist on its own and has close entity relationships, so it can be pulled in to as a citation.
Okay.
So it does have value. I didn't use to. Okay, sorry.
So it's like another, and we have to move really quickly. We got about 9 minutes before Christine's got to get pulled into a meeting. So, this is an interesting one. Really quickly, Google is going to be eventually supporting HTTP query, which is much like HTTP post or HTTP GET. Query though is even safer. It's cacheable, and more importantly, if the download gets interrupted, you can continue sending data later without messing the stream of data.
Gary posted about this. I'm not sure what
Gary
type it
Eyes.
was. Yeah, I always thought told it was Ish, but whichever. I don't know when it is, which one's correct.
I'm going with
But
eyes.
he does
Could
have
be
a post
ish.
on it. Yeah, it could be Ish. So yeah, the query method combines missing pieces from GET and POST, and it is safe. And then there's a word in there Jim sent me today, and I didn't realize it was in this quote. It is idempotent. Is that how you say it? Idempotent?
Idempotent. Idempotent
Idempotent.
means as something's downloading, if something interrupts the download, you can start the download again a few minutes later without interrupting the data stream.
Awesome. So idempotent. It sounds like something on a TikTok.
It's our new word of the day, idempotent. Okay,
So
really
these are
fast,
really
we got
quick.
to get moving. We got to get, because again, you're going to get in
Yeah,
trouble
I
if you
got
don't
a
get to
hard
this
stop.
meeting.
Yes. So Google Local report owner response. So if the owner's response to you in a Google review, like you say, "I hate this place, it sucks," and they write back, "Well, you suck too," you're allowed to report now the owner for different types of responses. It's a set report. Like you pick a way that you were talked to you didn't like. Off topic, profanity, bullying, discrimination or hate speech, personal information, or you can report a legal issue. But owners of sites, be very careful. You shouldn't be talking badly to your people who leave you reviews. But even if you're being spammed and you know someone is a troll, do not talk badly to them because they can report you. I do see, though, this could become a negative SEO feature where people mass report using
Yep.
bots. Yeah,
Yeah,
so that's,
that kind of bothers me. But I'm, you know what? I'm
yeah.
sure Google knows this too. So,
Yeah, but reviews have
they've,
never been handled well.
yeah. And well, Google's seen people try to game their system. So, I truly hope they're conscious of that. Okay, Google video carousels are showing less often in searches. SEMrush said they were showing up 30% of queries. Now it says they're showing up about 20% of the time.
Kind of makes sense though, because then they're putting the video carousels into AI overviews. Like my map packs are now showing in AI overviews. They're not actually showing in the page a lot of the time. So I think it's just a movement of it to the AI overview, but rather than a complete disappearance.
Google is reintroducing questions and answers feature in Google Business Profiles. It's testing a revamped and updated Q&A feature, which I think is actually really excellent. Provided again, it's offering the right answers.
Yeah. Then Googlebot says they are coming from California. They might not, meaning do not block things from around the world or places if you're not 100% sure. Googlebot's not coming from there. I don't know why. A few years ago, John said they knew it was all coming from inside the US, but that I didn't think that was true. Just be very careful. You're like, I'm going to block all the bots from this country. They could have Googlebots that are registering from that country if you're in that country or if you're near that country. So.
Yeah, Google, I understand Google's got servers all around the world. Maybe its crawler traffic all came from the United States at one time, but I don't think that's, I can't imagine that's true anymore, given
No.
the amount of contents out there and the proliferation of AI. I just can't imagine Google's only crawling from America.
And I want to do this one real quick. Google AI overviews with AI generated images reported on like a week or two ago. They've already been pulled. The response was, the backlash was large. Inspired Taste, who has been one of the review recipe sites, who has been in constant contact with the press and Google. Wrote a whole big thing about how bad it was. So it seems that for now the test has been rolled back and hopefully
Okay.
permanently.
Here's our fast stories. We're going to be out of here in just a few seconds. If you are a mega agency running a whole bunch of Google Merchant Center accounts, you can now link up to 1,000 of them in one Merchant Center profile.
Yes, and Google Ads is testing a new review layout, basically one big star with the number next to it instead of all the stars. I kind of prefer all the stars because then just scan real easily, but either
Hold
way.
on, don't you get a small star, a medium star, and a big star? It's
No,
like, is that what they're doing?
it's just a big star and it says like 4.5 or 3.2 or one, whatever. But
Oh,
I'm
good
used to
Lord.
just scanning and seeing the number of stars.
Of, yeah, like, okay, well, yeah,
Yeah,
I prefer little stars too. That just makes much more sense.
and then
At
this.
least for your brain. You're
So
gonna get caught, you dumbass.
this is funny, but it also leads into our recommended story for the week from Shelley Walsh. So a person hides prompt injection to a legal filing, telling AI to side with them. They thought that they would be there. These were like ones you submit online, and he thought that they would have been read by AI. He even put in a reference to SpongeBob. He said, SpongeBob scene. Hi, hope you can't see this. Ha, you get this, right? Or something like that. This is a 404 media story. So the attorney put in extra white spaces. And so the courts are like, why are all these white spaces here? And figured out something funny was going on and figured out he was using AI. Now, they don't use AI to read the documents. So technically it didn't do anything, but he still was not a he was not a favorite of the court. I don't know if they did anything official to him, but they did give him a heavy reprimand.
I imagine he didn't break any law, but this is, you just offended the judge who's ruling on your case.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so there is an article to read related to this, and everyone in SEO needs to start understanding what prompt injections are, because I have a feeling they will start showing up as negative SEO attacks. This is from Search Engine Journal. It is prompt injections just prove something SEO has known for 25 years. The first prompt injections in this the AI industry were white on white text, which is just hilarious because that's what people used to use in search when that worked. This is a really good article about how it works, how it doesn't work, and how you need to be careful of the instructions that can be given through the AI to whatever LLM happens to be there.
Okay, on that, we need to get out of here. Again, Christine's got like 90 seconds to get from here to there. But lucky is a Zoom call.
Yes. But I need to go to
So on
the
behalf of Christine Chackinger, this is from Sites Without Walls. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media Friends. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 20th of August, 2026. Be kind, be good, rank well, be patient with each other, show love, not hate. You get so much further. And like I said, rank well. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.